Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Good morning, I'm Roland Martin. Next on News One Now, Republicans swing on each other debate last night. We'll break down what took place, how often Donald Trump lied, how often he was busted. Also, and who really was the best candidate who could be commander-in-chief on that stage last night. We'll talk about it with our panel. Also, former GOP nominee Mitt Romney. Whoa, he got a little personal with Donald Trump yesterday. Called him a con man. Blasted him. We will also share that with you as well. Folks, tracing your roots is gaining popularity among African Americans. We'll reveal one man's family history. You don't want to miss that. Also, actress Zoe Saldana under attack for wearing lots of makeup to portray Nina Simone in an upcoming biopic. Folks, Black Twitter lost their minds. Plus, we caught up with the biggest and best in gospel music at this year's Stellar Awards. I'll bring you all the red carpet action and give you a glimpse of what will air right here on TV One. Time to bring the funk on News One Now, right now.
This little guy has lied so much.
Here we go. So if there's anyone who's ever deserved to be attacked that way, it's been Donald Trump.
Just for the record, I've won 10. He's won 3 or 4.
Of 50. All the people on the stage, he performs the worst against Hillary Clinton.
Wrong.
I beat Hillary Clinton by more than anybody, by 11 points.
Well, wasn't that fun? It was the Republican debate last night taking place on Fox News from Detroit, where the candidates went after each other, got real personal. Donald Trump, seriously, you got to bring up the size of your penis? Really? In a debate? That makes you presidential? Okay. They did try to get around to some major issues in America, including the Flint water crisis.
What happened in Flint was a terrible thing. It was a systemic breakdown at every level of government, at both the federal and partially at both the state and partially at the federal level as well. But here's the point. This should not be a partisan issue. The way the Democrats have tried to turn this into a partisan issue, that somehow Republicans woke up in the morning and decided, oh, it's a good idea to poison some kids with lead. It's absurd. It's outrageous. It isn't true. All of us are outraged by what happened, and we should work together to solve it.
We as adults have to fight in our neighborhoods, in our communities, for our children's education. Put the politics aside, and everyone in this room can play a role in lifting their schools and lifting the students who are in those schools, because too much politics gets in the middle of it. And where we focus as adults and put children first, we see tremendous results. And the people of this town are going to rise, and they need to be involved.
Detroit is a great city with a magnificent legacy that has been utterly decimated by 60 years of failed left-wing policies. The way you bring manufacturing back to America is, number one, you lift the regulations. As president, I will repeal Obamacare, the biggest job killer in America. I will pull back the federal regulators, the EPA, and all the regulators that are killing small businesses and manufacturing.
One question about Flint. One question about Flint. But of course, you know that while fireworks on other issues as well rotate.
So if there's anyone who's ever deserved to be attacked that way, it's been Donald Trump for the way he's treated people in the last campaign. Now that said, I would much prefer to have a policy debate. I hope that's what we'll have here tonight.
He hit my hands. Nobody has ever hit my hands. I've never heard of this one. Look at those hands. Are they small hands? He referred to my hands. If they're small, something else must be small. I guarantee you there's no problem. I guarantee it.
And you see what happens again when you challenge him on a policy issue? You ask him about the economy, and the first thing he does is launch an attack about some little guy thing. Because he doesn't have answers.
No,
and he's asking us to
answer.
Make him the president of the United
Believe
States
me.
Of America.
Believe me. Don't worry about it, little Marco. I will.
All right, well, let's hear big Don. Donald.
Don't worry about it,
right,
little, don't worry about it, little Marco.
Gentlemen.
Let's hear
hey, gentlemen.
You ought to chill up.
Gentlemen, you gotta do better than those.
Chris. This guy has
hey,
the number one.
Mr. Trump, may I ask you, Mr. Trump,
in the United
I'd like to ask
States
you a policy question.
Doesn't
your proposed
vote.
Tax cut.
That's why the people in Florida do not like him.
Donald Trump in 2008 wrote four checks to elect Hillary Clinton as president. Okay. So I'd like to ask Donald, why did you write checks to Hillary Clinton to be president in 2008? It wasn't for business. And how can you stand on a debate stage now with her and say you don't think she should be
president? Actually, it was for business.
Mr. Trump. Hi.
Hello.
How you doing?
Nice to be with you, Megan.
Great to have you here.
You're looking well. You're looking
well. As are you.
There's a difference between flexibility and telling people whatever you think you need to say to get them to do what you want them to do. And that's what Donald has done throughout his career. It's our country that's at stake here. The future of the United States in the most important election in a generation. And he is trying to con people into giving them their vote, just like he conned these people into giving them their money.
The real con artist is Senator Marco Rubio, who was elected in Florida and who has the worst voting record in the United States Senate. He doesn't go to vote. He's absent. He doesn't go. Now, the people of Florida can't stand him. He couldn't get elected dog catcher.
You know, Donald has a tenuous relationship with the truth. I wrote one op-ed supporting President Bush's nomination after he made it. I would not have made that nomination. But let me point out,
not what you say in the op-ed. That is not what you said in the op-ed.
Donald, please, I know it's hard not to interrupt,
but it's not what you said in the op-ed.
Breathe.
Lion dead.
Breathe. You can do it. You can breathe. I know it's hard. I know it's hard, but just...
When they're done with the yoga, can I answer a question?
You cannot. I really hope that we don't see yoga on this stage.
Well, he's very flexible, so you never know.
All right, then. Once again, the Republican debate where the issues that matter most to black voters were never discussed. Joining me on the panel, Michelle Bernard, political analyst, CEO of the Bernard Center for Women, Politics and Public Policy, Ralph Chittum, Senior Vice Chairman of the D.C. Republican Party, Amber J. Phillips, writer and organizer, echoing Ida, and Elroy Saylor, a former advisor to the presidential campaign of Senator Rand Paul. Folks, I want to start here, and that is, it was very interesting to watch Chris Wallace bring up, first of all, let me give Fox News credit. By actually bringing in sound bites, bringing in graphics, saying you need to address this.
Yeah.
When they asked Donald Trump, how are you going to pay for, you say you're going to reduce the debt. You want to shut down the Department of Education, it's going to cost this. You want to shut down the Department of Energy, it's going to cost, EPA, it's only $8 billion. And here, where are you going to find the other $400 billion? Mm-hmm. He couldn't answer. Mm-hmm. He literally kept saying, oh, we're going to save $300 billion. He literally could not answer. It was as if his math skills could not be put to use. And to me, that is how you have to break him down. If you want to get into the insult game, you play his game.
Yeah.
You force him to have to answer to his constant lies.
And I love when there was one answer that the Donald gave, and Wallace said to him, but your numbers don't add up. I mean, he stayed on point and did everything he could to either make him answer the question or prove that he doesn't have an answer.
And he wouldn't answer the question.
Well, Michelle, this is just a party that the Republican Party, this is a problem that the Republican Party is having right now. Peggy Noonan has talked about it. You've got a civil war going on between the grass tops, the grassroots, and the establishment. Year after year, campaign cycle after campaign cycle, we hear Republicans putting out these talking points. We're going to get rid of EPA. We're going to abolish the IRS. We're going to abolish the Department of Education. As you've seen for the numbers, education is $90 billion, EPA is $7 billion. Even if you abolish all of those departments, you're still not going to change the problems that Roland talked about on the debt. What I'm very, very disappointed about is many Republicans right now, but from my perspective and to our viewers, I'm disappointed because we spent time talking about yoga and small hands and who gave money to Hillary Clinton. Where you're sitting there, you're in the city of Detroit, where unemployment is double that of the nation. You're right next to Flint, where the infrastructure is eroding. You're right there where they've got an emergency manager over the educational system, and we couldn't speak to those issues?
Well,
no wonder our party's having a problem.
In fact, Ralph, one question about Flint with DeMarco Rubio,
right.
Nobody else.
Yep.
One question about education goes to John Kasich, and I don't understand why, if you can ask all the candidates about immigration for the 100th time, why you couldn't say, what are you going to do about education in America? What are you going to do about the Flint water crisis? If you're a leader, which one of you will call Governor Rick Snyder and say, get this fixed? Nothing. I put that on the people who asked the questions.
Oh, absolutely. Clearly, when you watched that debate last night, there was an agenda in that debate. Fox basically set out to take down Donald Trump. Now, if that's what they want to do, that's fine. But what everyone here will agree to is this was a debate that was a waste of 2 hours of our time. They did not discuss issues such as education. They didn't get into criminal justice. They didn't get substantively into any issue that not just affects Black America, but affects grassroots America.
Right. Yeah,
they completely missed the target right. on talking to Americans.
I do believe, Ambro, that credibility comes into play. And what I felt was the absolute strongest part of the entire debate was when you saw a stumbling and bumbling Donald Trump who was trying to figure out how to get out of the lie about Trump University.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was
horrible.
I mean, he was like, okay, hold up now. Let's just wait a minute. Hold up. Mm-hmm. And to say, oh, 98% of the people who loved it, but a third of the people are in a class action lawsuit. Mm-hmm. Then when he got a hit on, said, oh, no, we had an A rating. He had a D minus rating. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of like lie after lie after lie. And he literally was standing there trying to figure out, oh, it's a small lawsuit, and we will know in 3 years. Okay, so basically you want us to wait 3 years mm-hmm. to find the truth. Mm-hmm. So it'll be in, if you're president, the last year or your first term?
Yeah.
And see, Roland, that was a
hold on, Amber, okay.
I would go love right what you said earlier, Roland, about how we would like to think that if we really push him on the facts, that there will be some kind of persuasion going on. But I don't think his base cares about the facts. I think he's been able to run this by just being a celebrity and being some faces that I've known Donald Trump. I didn't know how awful he was, but I think it doesn't matter to his base. And I also don't think they have to appeal to Black voters as they have consistently done throughout these debates. They haven't talked about our issues at all.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I took a look at the front of the Daily Caller yesterday, which is a conservative website, and big headline, liberal media won't address the fact that so many African Americans support Donald Trump. The fact that I had to read the article because I didn't know where it was coming from. You know, the fact that
They still don't know. They still don't know because it's a lot. Yeah. Elroy, again, here's my deal. If you keep focused on Trump answer facts, mm-hmm. and to me, if you keep doing that, and the folks still say, I don't care, I'm gonna vote for him, that means you understand that electorate that is in utter denial mm-hmm. when it comes to truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, Trump had a great opportunity last night when he talked about Trump University, and most Republicans are really blowing their opportunities. When he talked about Trump University, if I were advising him...
First of all, which is not a real university, but go ahead.
Right, but if I were advising him, I would have used as an example to talk about Pell Grants, student loans, the disparities in education, and I would have said, hey, my effort with Trump University were to address these disparities that we have in urban areas and poor areas and the rest of America, versus spending his time trying to defend Trump University. Why not use that opportunity to talk about how he was trying
because
to
he can't, because,
improve the education
Because you're assuming he's actually thought about that, and he actually
that's,
has
That's
it.
Part of the problem.
I will say...
all of these candidates with that same sort of in-depth fact-checking mm-hmm. that Fox did with Trump last night.
Of course. Well, first of all
of them.
First of all, if they had the guts to come here, they would. I'll say this here. I felt that was only one person on that stage last night who is a grown-up, mm-hmm. who can govern,
Kasich.
Who has Kasich. Real credentials.
Kasich. He really does.
And although I thought, you know, he danced around something, he let him off the hook. But I felt his strongest moment could have been said where he mentioned it, but he didn't really want to go hard. Had he said, I'm sorry, which one of you actually sat in the Oval Office with President Ronald Reagan?
Yeah.
Which one of you mm-hmm. actually sat with President Reagan to cut the debt? And he mentioned I was there working with Ronald Reagan. But my dear, that's why you turn to them and say, Donald, were you there?
Yeah.
Were you there? Marco, were you there, Ted? I don't think so.
But you know,
at the end of the day, if you listen to Governor John Kasich, Governor of Ohio, Congressman, fiscal hawk, understands budget. That was the only grown-up I saw.
He was the only grown-up, and I actually liked the fact that he handled the whole Reagan thing the way he did. simply because the big elephant in the room, I was waiting for Megyn Kelly, Amber, I hope you'll agree with me, to just say, gentlemen, why are we focused on your penis size? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a national embarrassment that we've got all of these major candidates who can talk about nothing other than who is going to get on their knees right. for another candidate
right.
and who's got big hands and who has small hands. And actually, if they were going to ask the question properly, what they would have said is, you know what they say about white men with small hands.
I can't participate.
I don't go that way. I'm just saying.
We're not petty, but if we were petty, that's what we would ask.
This problem in the Republican Party, you saw it building up in 2010 with the Tea Party win. You saw it in the next election in 2014 with the landslide victory. You see it with all of the articles that are coming out. The Republican Party is clearly having a civil war, and it's having a huge meltdown. The ideals right now are coming from Paul Ryan. Whether you agree or disagree, he's right now trying to show some leadership and laying out some policies for the rest of the party to follow. But our candidates who are running for national office, it is a complete meltdown.
But Elmer, it's not just Republicans. You've got Democrats, high school degree or diploma or less, who are supporting Donald Trump. There's
a problem with the national electorate.
Period.
Yeah, that takes you to a bigger problem. And I'm not being partisan here, but we've had 8 years. And when you ask yourself, are you better off today than you were 8 years before, 16 years before? Most people will say no.
Ralph.
But I give Kasich credit last night because he didn't get sucked into a WWE cage match.
Yes.
Despite all the provocation from the people who were supposedly moderators who tried to set up these fights among the candidates on the stage, every time they tried to bait Kasich, he pivoted and actually tried to give an answer that proved he was the only adult in the room.
But see, I coach Little League football, and you've got to meet people where they're at. When my kids and my players are excited, I get down on the ground with them and I get fired up. When my kids and the football players are kind of mellowed out, I speak to them with a mellow voice. The electorate is fired up right now. So Kasich's problem is he's got the right rhetoric but the wrong delivery.
I don't think so.
Sometimes
I absolutely disagree.
Well, if it was the right delivery, why is he only at 8 or 9 points with delegates?
I think his numbers are going to keep going up. I think his numbers are going to keep going up. And I think we are headed toward, after last night, I think we're headed toward a broker convention. Not one of those people other than Kasich deserves the vote of one single American.
Hold tight 1 second. When we come back, speaking of broker convention, could that be the case? Yesterday, former GOP presidential nominee Mitt Romney came out publicly. Let's just say didn't have that much nice to say about Donald Trump. You want to hear our conversation next. Plus, backlash in Hollywood. Black folks are blasting Zoe Saldana after a trailer come out showing her with a tremendous amount of dark makeup, and she playing the role of Nina Simone. Also, find out how your DNA can help you find your African origins when I talk to the top DNA ancestry testing company. All of that. News One Now TV.
Wherever you
All
are,
new Tuesday,
we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
I got a little ugly yesterday in Utah when former GOP presidential nominee Mitt Romney came out to blast Donald Trump, calling him a con man and everything else. Shelley, press play.
It's my honor, real honor, and privilege to endorse Mitt Romney.
There are some things that you just can't imagine happening in your life. This is one of them. being in Donald Trump's magnificent hotel and having his endorsement is a delight. I'm so honored and pleased to have his endorsement. And of course, I'm looking for the endorsement of the people of Nevada.
He failed. He failed horribly. The third debate. I backed him. You can see how loyal he is. He was begging for my endorsement. I could have said, Mitt, drop to your knees. He would have dropped to his knees. He was begging. Sure.
Watch, by the way, how he responds to my speech today. Will he talk about our policy differences, or will he attack me with every imaginable low-road insult? This may tell you what you need to know about his temperament, his stability, and his suitability to be president. Let me say that again. There's plenty of evidence that Mr. Trump is a con man, a fake. Mr. Trump has changed his positions, not just over the years, but over the course of the campaign. And on the Ku Klux Klan daily for 3 days in a row.
I totally disavow the Ku Klux Klan. I totally disavow David Duke. I've been doing it now for 2 weeks. This is, you're probably about the 18th person that's asked me the question.
Well, that was nice. You had, of course, Mitt Romney, who, again, in that speech, about 20, 25 minutes, just went after him in so many different ways. And, again, he really is trying to frame this in a way to open up the folks who don't want Trump to be the nominee to really come out slamming him. And so it was very measured. It was precise and surgical. Here's more.
His bankruptcies have crushed small businesses and the men and women who work for them. He inherited his business. He didn't create it. And whatever happened to Trump Airlines? How about Trump University? And then there's Trump Magazine and Trump Vodka and Trump Steaks and Trump Mortgage. A business genius, he is not. Now, Donald Trump tells us that he is very, very smart. I'm afraid that when it comes to foreign policy, he is very, very not smart. His domestic policies would lead to recession. His foreign policies would make America and the world less safe. He has neither the temperament nor the judgment to be president. And his personal qualities would mean that America would cease to be a shining city on a hill. Here's what I know. Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud. His promises are as worthless as a degree from Trump University. He's playing the members of the American public for suckers.
All right, folks, let's get right to it. Will that be effective, or does it simply help Donald Trump that the establishment and Mitt Romney is coming out and basically blasting him?
For a few points, Roland, I've said it on your show before. Corporate America, they understand 2 points, profit and pressure. The establishment class, they also understand 2 points. They understand power and control. I've talked to a lot of Republicans on a daily basis, and clearly you're starting to see a movement with the establishment class, the money people, gravitating towards how do we take Trump off the stage. The fact that Mitt Romney came out yesterday at the time that he did in Michigan at a state where his father was governor sends a really big signal that this was a strategic move. However, when you look at it from a political operative perspective, I'm not so sure that's going to help, and here's why. March 5th is tomorrow. You've got 155 delegates up to vote. In 2008, McCain won Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, and Maine. In 2012, Santorum won Kansas, Mitt Romney won Kentucky, Santorum won Louisiana, and Mitt Romney won Maine. So you look at the last 2 times that Mitt Romney ran, he only won 2 states. So coming out now on the heels of March 5th, I'm not so sure that's a good move for where the electorate is today.
But also,
who cares what Mitt Romney has to say?
That's the point I'm making.
Romney is talking to an echo chamber inside of the Beltway.
Actually, you're wrong, because here's the deal. First and foremost, the lead up to Mitt Romney coming out, it was tremendous media coverage on the day before yesterday. Tremendous coverage.
They're trying to drive it.
No. Tremendous media coverage when it came out on Tuesday. Then what you saw, on Wednesday. Then what you saw the morning of Thursday, all coverage. He was supposed to speak at 11. He didn't come out till about 11:20. Mm-hmm. So you had all of the cable networks who were showing live shots who were all going after that. Then Mitt Romney gives his speech. Now you had more coverage. To me, at some point, the only way something grows is when you plant a seed. And what Mitt Romney was doing is putting a stake down and sort of laying the groundwork. Now the question is, will media, will other Republicans now follow Mitt Romney up, follow him up, saying, okay, we now have to look at this guy in a different way? If you never plant the seed, nothing ever grows. And the problem is, you look at the PAC for Jeb Bush. They spent only $9 million of $100 million criticizing Trump, and they were attacking Romney and Cruz, and Trump was leading. Somebody has to say, we got to take on the dude up front.
But, right, but this, Romney's with not his, the one to do it.
Here's his, the deal. If, somebody has to do it.
No, I agree with you, but here's the deal. I don't think that Romney's voice is the appropriate voice in that party to take down Donald Trump, because the people who want Donald Trump don't listen to Mitt Romney. Mm-hmm. They listen to Ann Coulter. They listen to Rush Limbaugh. If Rush Limbaugh takes him down, he'll go down.
But it's not a point of he's not the right voice. Here's my point. Somebody has to start it, mm-hmm. and you hope other voices follow. The problem thus far is, this is what it's being. Yo, Roy, you gonna do it? No, I'm good. Michelle, you gonna do it? No, I'm good. Ralph, you gonna do it? No, I'm good. Amber, how about you? And it's kind of like, well, Henry, can you start? Somebody has to start it.
Somebody does have to start it, but I also think it's weird coming from someone who has that 47% comment mm-hmm. in their background as well.
I think, but he's not talking to us, though.
He's not talking to us, but also Donald Trump's base is very racist, is very ignited by the things that he is saying against other marginalized Americans. No one is going to really be able to draw a line on him until they come out and say, yes, what we've said about immigration is wrong. Yes, how we've treated Mexican Americans and their families, whether or not they are citizens here, is wrong. And I think that will be the distinguishing factor. They're not going to speak to his base by saying, you know, we think he's stupid, because they don't think he's stupid.
Well, and
the base feels like they're one of him. I'm telling you, unless it's Laura Ingraham, Ann Coulter, or Rush Limbaugh, no one's taking
him.
I understand those voices, but what I'm saying is, the problem thus far has been everybody has been afraid to take mm-hmm. on Donald Trump.
Well, the reason everybody's, I mean, I've traveled the country with Senator Rand Paul from Iowa to Michigan to, you know, base parts of our country to no base parts of our country. And what I saw out there was I saw an electorate that is really, really fed up with the debt. They're fed up with immigration. They're fed up with employment. They're fed up with education. This is probably the first time in at least modern lifetime
right.
that you've seen white folks as mad as black folks.
Mm-hmm. But also,
they're still as mad.
I do want to know, though, if Donald Trump is the nominee, are Republicans going to say, we will not stand for this?
No.
We will not vote for this.
Here's a piece here. To your point, about you can be angry and everything. Everything that you said. But when the guy who they're supporting, his numbers don't add up, when the guy they're supporting is making all of his clothes in China and Mexico, all the things that they mad about, he embodies, but they still say he's our guy, that tells me they are stuck on stupid.
This country is driven by a cult of personality.
Well, guess what? They can be on a cult of personality. When you're stuck on stupid and you listen to crazy, you're going to go down a crazy path, and that's what's happening. You can't overlook the fact that you can't talk about, I'm going to bring jobs in America, but my clothes in China and Mexico. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cut the deficit, but my numbers don't add up. When you lie, oh, my Trump University is a fraud. You keep lying, and he keeps going, yeah, but he sounds great. Mm-hmm. They are crazy, and at some point, you got to say, voters, y'all done lost y'all mind. Mm-hmm. Coming up, the First Family says they're going to stay in D.C. because their daughter still is in high school, while also black folks blasting Zoe Saldana for wearing so much caked on makeup to portray Nina Simone, and Nina Simone's estate swings back hard. Also, we'll talk to the top DNA ancestry company about as they unveil a customer's African ancestry. All of that next on News One Now TV.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
Yesterday, members of the Black Caucus joined with Senate Democrats to blast Republicans for continuing to block a potential Supreme Court nominee who will be put forth by President Barack Obama. They said it perfectly clear to the GOP. It's time to do your job.
The Constitution clearly states that the president has not only the power, but a duty, a sacred duty and responsibility to fill seats on our federal court.
I am grateful as a minority to say that many of the rights that I have secured were secured through the constitutional determination by the United States Supreme Court. I am desirous of that not being denied to yet the unborn children and young people and those vulnerable people of America.
The Constitution does not direct the President to withhold a nomination or the Senate to ignore a nomination during an election year. Thus, our message to the GOP is clear. Do your job.
And of course, we're still waiting for President Barack Obama to actually appoint a nominee. And we made it perfectly clear here. We certainly hope he picks a black woman to be the nominee. Speaking of the president, yesterday, he announced that he plans to stay in Washington, D.C. after his second term as president is up. While in Milwaukee at a luncheon to celebrate the Healthy Communities Challenge, the president shared that, quote, we're going to have to stay a couple of years so Sasha can finish. His youngest daughter, Sasha, attends high school in Washington, D.C., and the family wants her to graduate from that school instead of transferring in the middle of the school year. Sasha Obama is expected to graduate in 2018. It is very rare for a president, once their term is up, to actually stay in the nation's capital, but the president made it perfectly clear that is going to happen. All right, folks, actress Zoe Saldana is getting a huge backlash for her portrayal of soul legend Nina Simone in the upcoming biopic Nina. The search for the right actress to play Simone began in 2010, and after several casting setbacks, producers decided on Saldana. Critics felt the actress did not resemble the late singer, saying she was far too light-skinned, and also Saldana is Dominican and Puerto Rican descent. And the issue for Simone is that she, of course, is she's an African-American, and throughout her career, she often talked about the whole issue of being a dark-skinned woman. Black Twitter went crazy. I'm talking about unbelievably crazy, blasting her, blasting the makers of it. And even the family of Nina Simone did the exact same thing. Now, Saldana tweeted this, I'll tell you what freedom is to me, no fear, I mean really no fear. But the Nina Simone estate came back literally saying, don't even mention Nina Simone, don't let it come out of your mouth. You hear that? Cool story, but please take Nina's name out of your mouth for the rest of your life. Bob Johnson, who of course co-founder of BET, he issued a statement defending Zoe Saldana, saying Zoe Saldana delivers an exceptional and mesmerizing tribute to Nina Simone. She gave her heart and soul to the role and displayed her extraordinary talent. The most important thing is that creativity or quality of performance should never be judged on the basis of color or ethnicity or physical likeness. Quite interesting. Joining me right now is Josie Pickens. She's a culture critic, professor, and she wrote a piece in Ebony.com called While Zoe Saldana as Nina Simone Doesn't Work. She joins us from Houston, Texas. Josie, why do you say it doesn't work?
I mean, it simply doesn't work. When we think about Nina Simone and we think about her unapologetic blackness, a lot of that unapologetic blackness kind of surrounds her image and how she looks physically. The fact that, you know, she went from when she first started recording, wearing short wigs, you know, straight wigs, to donning her natural hair, celebrating her full nose, her full lips, her dark skin. And there was a cost that came along with that for Nina growing up in the South during Jim Crow. And so when you have someone whose legacy is focused in blackness, black culture, yes, but also this black aesthetic, this black beauty, then, you know, someone like Saldana, who doesn't really have the same ideas as Nina, who also, as she presents as Afro-Latina sometimes, but she also has made many comments saying that she doesn't really see color.
Let me ask you this though. Idris Elba played Nelson Mandela, looked nothing like Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela was a lot more light-skinned. Idris Elba was a lot darker. And then, of course, we have the recent controversy where a white actor is going to be playing Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson once said, I don't want anybody white playing me, and the producers absolutely ignored that. And so how then do we make the case when we had examples of somebody dark-skinned playing somebody light-skinned or somebody light-skinned playing somebody dark-skinned, but then now we're saying, oh, but Zoe Saldana can't play Nina Simone?
Well, I think there are a couple of things to consider in that. As far as Idris and Nelson Mandela, well, you know, of course, that was a casting call. I really didn't also necessarily see a likeness. But when we're talking about that Michael Jackson film, you know, I think that everybody is against that as well. And Saldana, I mean, the fact that she is donning essentially, you know, blackface, prosthetic nose, she's doing this, it just is anti-Nina.
Okay.
Especially when there were so many black actresses who could have played that part more accurately.
So I want to go to our panel here. Amber, you say she's blackface, but that's not blackface.
Blackface is
literally mixing charcoal and other elements together to literally blackface. I mean, dark makeup is not blackface.
Okay, well, dark makeup, I think Idris also did not extremely alter the color of his skin. What we're looking at, Zoe, she is an Afro-Latina woman. She is black and she can lay claim to that. But I think it's just ironic as we look at what's going on in Hollywood, how we're still not making opportunities for different kind of dark beauty, dark black people playing the roles of other dark black folks. Nina Simone's entire career, she talks about being young, gifted, and black. It is an experience, and I'm not saying that Zoe can't relate to it because of her skin tone, but I do just think they should have taken better care to have someone play her who did not have to change, literally paint their body to be who Nina Simone is. Now, if she became Nina Simone without darkening her skin, then we would be having a completely different conversation.
As someone who I know the lyrics to every Nina Simone song, loved all of her work, unapologetically black, and I will say, as someone who always will tell people, I am very proud to be a Jamaican American. I think this is where, as a community, we do things that are idiotic. I don't think that anyone should be beating up on Zoe Saldana, either claiming that she's not an African American or harping on the fact that she, you know, where her ancestry is. We're all part of the diaspora. Mm-hmm. We are all part of the diaspora. White actors all the time, they put on weight, they lose weight, they wear a prosthetic nose, they take one off. They get Oscars for these amazing, you know, ways that they change their appearance to play a role. Don't be mad at Zoe Saldana. Be angry at the people who did the casting. They could have cast Lupita, mm-hmm. from 12 Years a Slave. There are a number of beautiful, dark-skinned African-American women that could have played the role, but we should not penalize her either because of her descent or because she's light-skinned and had to change her appearance.
Hold tight one second, okay? We were going to go to our DNA ancestry piece that we recorded next. I want to hold that. Because I think this is an important conversation, because this also gets into African Americans demanding more roles, but then now we're saying, okay, let's demand different roles once we're now inside of the roles. So we're going to come back just 1 second to talk more about this huge controversy as it relates to this Nina Simone biopic right here in News 1.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV.
Welcome back to News 1 Now. We're talking about this controversy, Zoe Saldana, as well as playing the role of Nina Simone. Elroy, you want to make a comment before we get to break?
I agree with Michelle here, because here's the slippery slope. If we go down this track, we're talking two-dimensionally now, but hear me out, if we go three-dimensionally, what happens when we want to have an African-American actor play the next James Bond? And they say, oh, well, fictitionally, James Bond is supposed to be a white American.
Oranges,
well, no, you can still make the same argument, though. If someone
but
wants
you can't,
to
because that's still, if Idris Elba, because that's who
one
everyone
is fictional,
wants to play,
one is fact.
But also, he would never change his skin tone. Zoe could have made a decision to not darken her skin. She also later came back and said that Nina Simone deserved better. So I think those are things we just have to consider
but to Elroy's point, if the creator of it is in the contract,
exactly.
If the creator of James Bond says only a white man can play it, in fact, the creator of Spider-Man, it is in the contract that Spider-Man has to be a white actor, what do we then say if we want somebody black cast to play Spider-Man?
We fight back against that, but those are fictional characters. Nina Simone was a real black woman.
Right, so the only argument
who really stood up for these issues, who really talked about being dark-skinned in America.
I hear you, Amber, but the only argument you have at that point is to say fictional versus fact.
up in arms about the casting of Hamilton. If we're going to argue now for racial purity, that dark-skinned black people can only play dark-skinned black people and light-skinned black people can only play light-skinned black people, then we should also be angry with this multiracial cast.
Okay. Will Smith had to put on about 20 or 30 pounds to play Muhammad Ali in the movie, okay? So, was that a big issue?
We're still not talking about racism and colorism. That is the conversation. Again, and Zoe could have played the part. She's a brilliant actress. Why did she have to darken her skin? There's no reason for it. Even if a black person plays James Bond, and again, these are fictional characters,
we wouldn't accept that.
Idris Elba did not bleach his skin to become Nelson Mandela. That just did
Michelle?
Not happen.
Well, first, I hope no one says anything about my boyfriend, Idris Elba, in a negative way.
Girl, sorry. You pulled your comment.
Sorry to my husband, but he knows that's my man crush. to play devil's advocate, what if Zoe Saldana had played Nina Simone without doing anything to change her complexion? Everybody would be angry about the fact that
we
a light-skinned woman
that
was playing.
Right. That opportunity was never given to black Americans.
I hear you.
To say, can we support Zoe in playing this role? Because there are a lot of people who want a Nina Simone documentary.
Hold up. First of all, Amber, we got to be honest. There were a lot of people who were mad when she was cast anyway, before we even knew she put on dark makeup.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people mad that she was chosen, period. So that's not necessarily true.
Those images of her in the facial features,
I understand,
came out very soon after. And
No, Amber, not true. First of all, it's a long way between getting cast and then the movie getting shot. What I'm saying is, when she was cast, I remember folks were hot that Zoe Saldana was cast because the thing was, oh, she's not dark enough. Mm-hmm. So even if she played it straight, I think she still would have got criticized.
I think she would have got criticized, but then she would have had the opportunity to do a beautiful job in this role. And I believe we would have supported her. But now, looking at this as a dark-skinned woman, first off, the skin tone looks wrong to me. Like, looking, Nina Simone's blackness meant something to me as well. And it meant something to black folks. And she should have made the decision to A, not blacken her skin, or given another opportunity.
Look, here's the deal. One second. First of all, I'm out of time. I gotta go. and I'm sure we're gonna have this conversation again. Next, News One Now, Stellar Wars coming up this weekend, airing on TV One. We'll have a sneak peek next.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
31st Annual Stellar Awards airs Sunday right here on TV One. We hit the red carpet and the show to give you a sneak peek. Shelley, hit play.
Are amazing. Child, are you just a
sad? Well, the Stellar Awards gives us an opportunity for us to celebrate us, for the Christian community to come together, celebrate the dynamic music ministries and the dynamic personal ministries that people have shown throughout the year. No matter the attack, I won't turn
back. This means war. The Stellars has made stage for gospel music in a significant way. It's elevated what it means, what it does. It's given a picture of creativity, of power, of impact, of influence, elegance, and class. You carried me
and refused to let me sink. God is too big for one voice to be able to tell it enough. We got to come together and do that. And that's why I appreciate your show, too, for giving us an opportunity to be heard and to share this music and what we're doing. There is a name
that is so precious. The Stellars are glamorous.
I'm wearing Mark Bauer. When you're my height, you have to get people to design the stuff for you because I just can't pick it up from a rack. And I told him I was coming to the Stellars. He's like, oh, but I have the most beautiful teal color that you can wear, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just so thankful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mark. I love you.
Hey, I just slapped a gold tie on there. First of all, it's the black and old gold because I'm an alpha. But secondly, it's the color of the Stellar Award. So at least that's what all the flyers look like, black and gold. So I'm just trying to match up.
Well,
I have a boutique that I shop at in D.C., and the owner, he goes overseas to have all the stuff made, and he sent me this design, and I was like, man, I love it, and he sent it to me for free. Say, go to the Stellars, rock it, and just give me some pictures.
Shout out to Roland. His fashion game in the suits is amazing. I'm more of a t-shirt and ball cap guy. Before this type of event, I go ahead and put it, you know, put on my Roland Martin.
I'm going to be open, casket sharp. I want y'all to see the before. I want y'all to put these pictures side by side. You heard me? This is a big deal. This is the Jesus Oscars. This is the golden Street Globes. You know what I mean? It don't get no better than this, man. Whoever would have thought? I used to play the piano for Sunday school, and now I'm hosting the Stellar Awards. And I have in my hand the name of the best Stellar host ever. And the winner is Sherri Shepherd.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Give me that.
Yes!
Oh, my God! I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ!
I'm co-hosting for the second time with Ricky Smiley, and they've never had comedians host the show before, so it's really great that I get to be reunited with Ricky. I'm hoping they'll let me wear, like, a showgirl outfit underneath my choir robe. So far, I haven't gotten approval. We'll see.
The Stellar Awards are historic. Lady Tremaine is a member of the acclaimed Hawkins Gospel Dynasty and was a featured vocalist on the landmark recording, Oh Happy Day. Miss Hawkins was the very first host of the Stellar Awards in 1985.
To come this time to be honored with the Stellar Honors Club, it's just amazing. We're living in perilous times, and gospel music is yet the music that lifts and it inspires and it blesses and it's anointed.
Stellar Awards are inspiring.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise and give a round of applause to your class of 2016 Stellar Award honorees. Jonathan Slocum, Yolanda Adams, Marvin Sapp, and Tremaine Hawkins.
Tremaine was so gracious when I came along.
Yes.
And so awesome. And she mentored me and told me the do's and the don'ts. And I've done a lot of the do's, praise the Lord, and didn't have to go through the don'ts because she went through them. And it's the same thing that I'm doing for all the young artists that are coming up.
All things are working for my good. Yeah, he's intentional. Sing it. He's never.
It feels great to be celebrated. It feels even greater to be tolerated. And this is fun for me. You know, I get to sing and perform, and I'm nominated. So it's a lot of fun, man. I'm just out here enjoying it, really.
So, Vegas, what you gonna do?
Well, you know, well, if you want the genre to stay alive, you have to be able to celebrate those kids, because you don't want them to think that there's not a platform for them to grow. And it's our job to make sure that they land on safe ground. You know, that's because the platforms are not for us. It's for the body. Just like for them someday, they should do it for someone else.
You thought I was worse.
There's no other award show that strategically focuses on gospel music. Gospel music to me is the greatest art form there is. I think so many other art forms derive out of gospel. So many other artists who start out in church go elsewhere. So gospel music is important. If we didn't have this, they wouldn't be a huge vehicle by which people could see and hear music of inspiration. It's important. Thank you to Don Jackson and to the Stellar Awards for making this happen.
This is our Gospel Grammys. This is where we know the people that have supported us down through the years and our new supporters, they get to find out what's going on in the gospel community. And so it's just a blessing.
We're very proud of each other. We're very proud of how excellently and uniquely and genuinely we all try to approach this thing. So from Anthony to Travis to Tasha to Brian Courtney Wilson to William McDowell to everybody, everybody's doing what they do. They're being themselves. And that's really important, not only for what we do, but for what we show to other people as well.
The Stellar Awards are epic.
Hallelujah!
People are loving the word. God's gonna make it better.
us view the Stellar Awards. It's going to be amazing. So many people that you're going to love. I'm going to be on there, so you got to watch it. Singing my new single, It's Gonna Get Better. I promise you, you will not regret it.
Stellar Awards airs Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on TV1. Back in 60 seconds.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Birthday shout-out time today. Singer Kay Michelle turns 32. Sacramento, California Mayor Kevin Johnson turns 50. Actor Michael T. Williamson turns 56. Tomorrow, Michael Irvin turns 50, the Hall of Famer. Also, actor Fred Williamson, known for his role on Starsky and Hutch, turns 78. Folks, a real quick debate this Sunday in Flint, Michigan. Just again, a perfect example to me how a Flint, Michigan debate takes place on the Democratic side versus nothing on the GOP side with a GOP governor. You got to force both parties to address what's happening in Flint.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yep.
No, absolutely. Both sides need to address it. Now, I will say that there was, not from the political side, but there were Republicans who did go to Flint this past week on the ground, held some town hall meetings to find out what the people needed, to find out what the people wanted. So the Republican Party is engaged, but the point you're making that the candidates have not addressed it is very important.
They should be firing that governor because he didn't do his job.
Two steps back, going to your earlier point.
Dude, you got 3 seconds.
Supreme Court. You can't separate the wet from the water.
I got to go. Holla.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I role is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.